I'm Mike Waters with Options on Education.
Whoever you go must have a code that she can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would die. So just look at them and sigh.
Now, if the Board of Education comes over and tries to close us down or tries to put pressure on us, then I'll fight. I'll fight. They can't have my daughter. I have one daughter, and I'll fight them to my death. And she's going to school where I want her to go to school. She's going to do what I tell her to do, not what some Board of Education or some government tells her to do. That's my right. That's our responsibility. You raise corn, but you train children.
I think the books have ceased to be important here since last summer. The issue is one of control of the schools. We've been told we're not supposed to ask students what they think. We're supposed to tell them what to think. There is a basic disagreement as to what education is all about.
Those were West Virginians on opposite sides of a prolonged and often violent battle. While other more complex issues have fueled the conflict, textbooks provided the spark. In fact, public school textbooks have been the subjects of protests across the nation, not just in Kanawha County, West Virginia. Bedford County, Virginia, South St. Paul, Minnesota, Keyport, New Jersey, Montgomery County, Maryland, New Hanover, North Carolina, Prince George's County, Maryland, and Houston, Texas, to mention a few. All of these communities have seen organized protests against the educational materials used in public schools. This rash of protests may well be spontaneous, although some charge that they are financed and controlled from outside the communities themselves. Who is protesting what, and whether such protests are likely to continue, are the questions we're asking on this edition of Options on Education. We're calling it Censoring Textbooks. Is West Virginia the tip of the iceberg?
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze, country roads.
Certainly the protests in Kanawha County, West Virginia, has received the most national attention. That protest has also been the most violent. Over the past 3 months, Kanawha County, with 45,000 students, has been the scene of bombings, beatings, a walkout by local coal miners, and a boycott of the schools. At one point, more than 10,000 students were kept out of school by their parents. Their parents charged that the 325 textbooks recently chosen for English and language arts classes are obscene and anti-Christian. Most of the protesters are from the villages and towns in the mountains outside Charleston, the state capital. And several protest leaders are fundamentalist Christian ministers. You'll meet them later in the program. You'll also hear from the defenders of these particular textbooks. However, not everyone on this program is from Kanawha County, and not everyone thinks that textbooks are the real issue. Some from both sides argue that what is at stake is something far more important, like the future of public education or the morals of American children. Let's begin with the protesting parents and their kids. Some of them were at a rally in Charleston, West Virginia on November 30th. There, they talked with our reporter, John Merrill, of the Institute for Educational Leadership.
Are your children in school?
No, they're not. They're in a private Christian school.
Will they go back to school if the textbooks are withdrawn?
Yes, they will.
How about you?
Well, mine's not in school either. They went 4 days since school started. And so I just think it's a bunch of trash.
Do you think parents ought to be the ones really to decide on what textbooks?
Yes, I believe so. Yes, they're our children, and we want what's best for our children.
I see your sign says we want prayer and Bible reading back in the school. Is that part of this protest?
Part of it, yes, sir.
You know, you not only want the textbooks withdrawn, but you'd like to see prayer and Bible reading restored.
Well, I feel that the teachers ought to teach part of the Bible, and these textbooks are strictly against the Bible. So I never did find that big word S-O-B written in the Bible. It is in the textbooks.
Now, some of the people I've read in the national newspapers have said that you people down here are trying to turn your backs on the 20th century.
What would you say the 20th century is?
What would you say? I'm supposed to ask the question.
Well, I would like to turn back to teaching God and Christ and not have these fairy tales and things like that. But when God comes up, teach what God is, who God is, who Christ is, and that he died for us.
You don't think that the church and the state should be separate?
No, I think if we're all Christian, we're going to the same place. We're not going to be separated in heaven.
Of course, there are a lot of Americans who aren't Christian. What about them?
I believe I haven't saw but just one or two people that don't believe in God. But I do believe the American people believes in God. If the textbooks gets out of Canoy County, out of West Virginia, and they try to teach Christ the way he's supposed to be taught, I think it'll be back peaceable. But I don't think Canoy Valley is going to be peaceable until the books are out.
I proudly wear these buckskins as symbolical of my fathers who gave us this country. And as a son of the fathers who gave this country to us, I, for one, will do all that I can to leave my country safe for our children. This Scotch tam that I wear, as you know, in Appalachia, the early settlers were primarily German, first German and then Scotch Irish, and they came to this country because of religious persecution.
Well, tell me now, why are you here at this particular protest rally?
The reason why I'm here is because the same satanic forces that forced our fathers to emigrate to this country in the first place, the same satanic forces are seeking to destroy our freedom.
But you think the textbooks are a real threat to that heritage?
That is, because really, you talk about multi-ethnic culture and so forth. Where has been the where has our heritage and our culture been taught? You can in schools you can hear of social studies and this and that and the other. But WASP, this satanic power that's trying to enslave our children, is more fearful of Jesus Christ when he has a following, the Scotch Irish and the German peoples, when they bow the knee to Jesus Christ, it makes the devil tremble.
Someone else I read said that the kids are going to learn these words and so on and so forth anyway, in the halls or in locker rooms. How do you feel about that?
Well, they might do that.
You don't have to teach it to them.
That's right. You don't have to drum it in their head 8 hours a day.
Yeah, like sitting 8 hours a day and having these professional teachers drum it and beat it into their heads. They're professionals. They know what they're doing.
What do you mean? They're doing this on purpose?
Well, no, not exactly, but you take a five-year-old child and try to teach it its ABCs at home, and you see how long it takes a parent to teach it. But give it over to one of our professional teachers. Watch how long it takes them to teach something to it. Watch how long it takes them to drum it into their head.
And you think kids should learn their ABCs and not their SOBs?
That's exactly right. That's the way we want it.
We've got good teachers, but that Board of Education is rotten.
Well, now, why are they trying to put these textbooks here in the first place?
That's what we'd like to know. We'd like to know what is really behind it, besides communism.
Communism.
Right.
Explain what you mean.
You should know what I mean.
Do you think Superintendent Underwood ought to leave this position in Kanawha County?
I sure do.
How?
Well, we'd like to ride him out on a rail.
Are you sending your children to private school?
Right.
How much does it cost you?
$45 a month for three of them.
For three children?
For three children.
What impact has that had on your own family budget?
Well, we are going to have to... Today, I'm giving up the newspaper. We will take it on Sunday only. We've been considering giving up the telephone. I will have meat on Sunday. I have already given up soft drinks because we've been spending quite a few... money, you know, against these textbooks. Given to the various things to help fight it. Christmas will be rather slim at home this year. But I imagine that someday the children will thank us for it.
Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would die. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
We all feel, and I think the children feels about the same way, no education at all this year would be being educated out of these books.
They talk about better education for kids and, you know, like, got to put your kids back in school. But if they went to school now with the books in, it wouldn't be an education. It would just be trash because that's all there is in schools now.
I've been going all year, and it was mainly because of, you know, we could figure out that the school was getting pretty bad anyway because, you know, they'd have class day at school, and everybody would get high on dope and stuff. And my parents and myself, either one didn't want me in this kind of atmosphere, and so they just figured we'd better be putting me in Christian school than would have me messed up in this stuff. I mean, because a Christian can't go in the Lord and be put down by the devil at the same time. It just won't work. I've only been saved for about four and a half to five months. And since then, a lot of my so-called friends aren't my friends anymore because they don't like the way I believe. And they, you know, they go to public school, and a lot of them make fun of me because I'm trying to be different.
What's in the textbooks?
Bunch of cussing and stuff.
But haven't you heard the cuss words anyway?
Yeah, I've heard them, but they're trying to teach them these little kids.
Do you think that if the books are withdrawn, you guys will go back to public school?
Yeah, probably.
But you're here today. You're marching.
Yeah.
You seem kind of young to be carrying signs. What you carrying signs about?
I've got the textbooks.
Those were parents and kids at a protest rally in Charleston, West Virginia on November 30th. That rally attracted about 2,000 protesters, including representatives of the John Birch Society and the National Front for Moral Regeneration. Among the speakers was the Reverend Carl McIntyre, a well-known leader of anti-communist causes.
We want freedom back! We want that freedom back to the people!
Our attention is focused on the local leaders in Kanawha County, especially three fundamentalist ministers, Avis Hill, Ezra Greeley, and Charles Quigley. These three men have helped establish private Christian schools in the county. Today, they have an enrollment of less than 1,000, as far as we can determine. As a fundamentalist minister, Avis Hill sees the battle over textbooks as a nationwide religious struggle. John Merrill wanted to find out who favors the textbooks.
The educators are the ones that support the books. NEA is the great leader of the educational movement of the teachers. They're the powerful institution. They have a lobby in Washington, D.C., almost like the oil companies do, and they have the power to dictate, really, and them and the publishers of what's going into the books without the parents having the opportunity to know. So we, the parents, are beginning to open our eyes and realize now that the educators in the system are trying to tear our system down across this nation. So we're opening our eyes, and we're standing in objection to the things that are in the books.
What do those textbooks, in your view, threaten to do to your children?
Well, demoralize. Demoralize completely. I mean, to teach that it's fine to just deceive, to lie, to cheat, to steal, even to kill. And to believe that there's no God. I mean, you have your right, and everyone else has a right to believe whether there's a God or whether there isn't. I went along. I accepted it when the Bible was taken out of the school, but I can't accept the fact that the Bible will be brought back into the school and taught right along beside of a myth. I can't believe that. It's been taught long enough with the evolutionist theory, but I can't go along with them bringing it back into the school system and teaching it right beside of myths. I can't do that.
In addition to the concerns about morality expressed by Avis Hill, the Reverend Ezra Greeley challenges the educational value of the textbooks.
We feel that there's no educational value at all to the books. We've read some of them, and it just takes you around in a circle. And after you read them, you don't know any more than you did before you started. Also, they have told in several papers, Washington Post and different ones, that we are against books, period. We're not against books. We're against this filthy book.
A third leader of the protest is the Reverend Charles Quigley. He feels that it's not an academic argument.
I think it's your very life is hinging upon what this what happens in this textbook, because if we can make the Board of Education listen to us, then our government had better stand up and listen to the very fact that when we say that we don't want something, then we don't want it. Now, if the Board of Education comes over and tries to close us down or tries to put pressure on us, then I'll fight. They can't have my daughter. I have one daughter, and I'll fight them to my death. And she's going to school where I want her to go to school. She's going to do what I tell her to do, not what some Board of Education or some government tells her to do. And that's my right. That's our responsibility. You raise corn. You train children.
For Avis Hill and the other ministers, private Christian schools and supplementary instruction at home for those who cannot afford the private Christian schools are only temporary solutions.
Get your basic textbooks, your reader and your arithmetic and your spelling book, and instruct your child at the home until this fear is over. And the only way I can see this fear ending in Kanawha County is for those books to be taken out of the school and go back to where it was last year. As far as I'm concerned, I think we ought to go back to the old McGuffey reader.
Mrs. Ellis Moore is the only member of the five-person school board who has consistently supported the protest. Unlike the three fundamentalist ministers, Mrs. Moore sees the situation in political terms.
I think in our case, because we've had not only nationwide attention, but worldwide attention, that it was almost essential that we not win. Because if we did win, parents all over this nation really would feel that they could take over their schools again and really have an influence on their schools. I think we're going to win eventually. I really think that for the sake of the establishment, the educational establishment, it's just essential that we couldn't win here.
A victory would be a symbol to the rest of the nation.
Absolutely. We have a policy now that says that no child has to study any book to which his parents object. In effect, if our parents wanted to, they could get together and everyone could agree to object to every book used by every other child. And we can put all kinds of pressure on the school system. You know, we can make it extremely, they think they've won a victory, we can make it extremely uncomfortable in their victory. There are many things we can do, even if we leave the children in school. We can let them know, we can send letters and let them know that they're not to ask our children any personal questions, they're not to interfere in any way in the parent-child relationship, they're not to use any textbooks that contain any kind of offensive language, and if they're not sure if the language is offensive or not, they can call us up and ask us. I'm just suggesting to them that, you know, if you have to leave your children in, there are many things you can do, and you're not just trapped. You know, for weeks and weeks, we had literally, 10,000 children at for weeks at a time. We had around 10,000 out. We even had up to 15 or 16,000 out at one time. Most of those children are back in school now. But in the Upper Kanawha Valley area, though they have the children in school, those books aren't going to be used up there, that's for sure. You know, they're very strong. I tell you, I admire those people up in that end of the county. And you know, of course, they have decided, since they can't, they're not going to be able to control the schools, they're just going to take the county with them. They'll take the whole thing.
Not all the protesters are local. Robert Dornan lives in California, where he's a national spokesman for Citizens for Decency Through Law. For Dornan, the issue is the school's role in teaching of values. Dornan came to Kanawha County after the protest erupted, and then spent several months assisting the protest leaders. He's no longer in Kanawha County.
If you're trying to structure your objection to the whole series of books, there is one sidebar problem that has nothing to do with the books directly, and that is media coverage of the whole incident here, from the American three television networks to the local newspaper coverage to the local television coverage. There has never been an attempt, really, to show the upper middle class and general middle class objection to these books. I feel, after going on for 2 or 3 months this way, it's a deliberate attempt to give a class warfare complexion to the whole issue, that it's, quote, the fundamentalist, undereducated, creaker people, the ones that I like to refer to as mountaineers, versus somehow or other sophisticated flatlanders who work in the chemical industry, and that's phony and false. So you've had this media problem exaggerating the frustration.
John Merrow did not find evidence of a class struggle in Kanawha County. And you'll hear from anti-textbook people who are certainly not mountaineers, including Dornan himself.
Okay, now to come back to the problem directly. There's an overall, an overlaying problem here that I describe as parent power. It's nationwide, I assume probably cultural-wide in all of Western civilization, that teachers, although they may be professionals, have no right to say that parents should get lost. Parents aren't just animals that supply their offspring, their young, to be educated by teachers having total control, particularly when they dip into value systems. Parents have the primary obligation for the spiritual upbringing of their children, and they also have the primary obligation for making sure that they get an education, period. Teachers must realize that parents are their employers, so that parent power problem affects the whole range of specific issues. Now, after approaching the basic education failure problem, they say, now if you're failing to teach them properly, where do you get all the time for this cute experimentation by putting in the books, whether it's supplementary reading books or primary texts, criminals, thugs, rapers, weirdos, radicals? What material do you kick out to put this in? Does Dickens go out the window? Alfred Lord Tennyson? Shakespeare? There's only so many hours in the classroom. Something has to be taken out to put in this, quote, reality. And they even preface some of these stories with those very words, a realistic story. This is in, I think, a fourth grade book. It's called A New Street Game, and it tells how if an Oriental American woman moves into the ghetto and puts in flower boxes, the little black kids will tear it up, destroy it, and the closing line in the story is, that dumb lady should have known better than try and fix up this crummy neighborhood. And then no value judgments given after that. And then the other side of this double issue, one being, what do you take out to put it in, is these aren't ethics classes where these are shown as gross examples of antisocial conduct. They're just thrown at them without any explanation at all. Now, I concede that some of it should be discussed in current events classes, possibly in some aspects of social studies. But why is this necessary in grammar books? Are our word questions in arithmetic also going to involve this junk material now? I mean, we're battling over English books. Wait till next spring when the social studies books come. Then you're really going to see a revolution. There are observable evils in mankind that must be condemned. And no, the school system is not, in a Judeo-Christian culture, some neutral body that throws a lot of garbage out at the kids, some good and some bad, and say, lots of luck, kids, pick your value system.
Most opponents of the textbooks focus on their contents. They feel that the six elementary textbooks are sacrilegious and anti-Christian. And they say that many of the 319 secondary school English books are obscene. On the other side, the Reverend James Lewis, an Episcopalian minister who favors the books, believes that the protesters are reacting to more than alleged blasphemy and obscenity.
Well, is there something in here about challenging, about questioning, that people find have a problem with?
Yeah, for example, the textbook might ask a child how he feels about a particular sight or emotion. It may, for example, instead of asking a child to write a story cold, create a story, it asks a child to get in touch with his own feelings and be able to put those feelings on paper, because that's where literature comes from the insides of people. And it's that kind of approach. Now, the opposition has said that is an invasion of privacy. Well, all literature is an invasion of privacy. That's something that they haven't come to grips with. That some of them are obviously worried about some of the words that are used in the whole perspective of education being in a realistic setting. These books are designed, many of them that they've been opposition to, are designed to appeal to a child who is not particularly turned on by books, not into the world of literature and reading. And these books are designed to hook a child at that point and grab him and help him understand that there's something real in those books for him. There is a tradition, a fundamental tradition in our nation, a fundamentalist they're called. And I think this mindset says there's one way to salvation, there's one way to education, there's one way to morality, and they're having a hard time dealing with a pluralistic society. Many of us have wondered where their support was coming from and how closely they were aligned to causes way over on the right. And I think it's fairly clear from their rally here this past weekend that they brought in Carl McIntyre and they have one of the leaders from the John Birch Society and who came in and started talking about blacks and about Jews and about National Council of Churches. And well, you know, it's a party line almost that many of us have heard before. It's raising its head. To hook on to Carl McIntyre is for example, is not going to be helpful for them. I think it's a tactical error. I think the whole system of public education is under siege in our country right now, from what I see in Kanawha County particularly. Whether we can continue to live together and be educated in the same school system is up for grabs right now.
That was the Reverend James Lewis, an Episcopalian minister who favors the textbooks. The 325 textbooks were chosen by a committee of five English teachers as required by state law, and by a subcommittee made up of 20 more English teachers. In all, the Kanawha County School Board spent approximately $425,000 on the controversial textbooks. Mrs. Nell Wood, who teaches English at the George Washington High School in Charleston, headed the selection committee that chose the books. She spoke with John Morrow.
Do you regret in any way the selection of the textbooks?
Not at all. I think if I had it to do over again, I would make exactly the same choices, given the same instructions in the beginning. I'm not sure there's any way this could have been avoided at this particular time.
What books did you choose that the protesters are specifically objecting to?
It's a little bit difficult to say who's objecting to what. That's a question you might get better from the protesters, because the area of protest varies, and it's not consistent from series to series or from even article to article. But we have had some objections on a series which is a literature series that is basic. It's in its fifth edition, and it's been around since 1952. I'm not quite sure how I can explain that one. We also have some objections on contemporary material. Now, much of the objection came at a level of material that was for advanced senior high school students working on college level. But then there were objections to elementary material, even to first grade material.
How many volumes? You bought 325 volumes. How many sets did you buy, and how much money was involved?
Now, this is a bit difficult to say how we bought, because we didn't buy. The committee only made selections, made recommendations for using a particular series, and then each school within its particular program made selections from that list to suit its program. Nobody buys all of the books. There wouldn't be that much money. But each school, each English department, made the selections that would work best for them.
Do you regret the process by which the books were selected in any way? Would you, for example, want to include parents in the selection process?
The process I don't regret, because I think the process was a democratic one. I'm not sure I would want to include parents in a voting capacity, because I don't think they have the background information, unless it is someone who keeps up with a particular field in a very intense way. I'm not sure that person could be qualified. Now, I recognize that parents are interested in books, but we have a great deal of parental input in the schools in Kanawha County, and it's not a cold, calculating school system that doesn't see parents or listen to parents.
Do you think that parents who feel strongly that the curriculum materials are inappropriate, do you feel that those parents have a right to insist that their children not be exposed to those materials?
That's always been a policy in Kanawha County Schools. That's what makes this whole protest so incomprehensible. Parents in Kanawha County have always had the right to read their students' material and ask that a child be removed from any or all of a particular set of materials. But that's not what we have at this point. It is far more important than the books. I think the books have ceased to be important here since last summer. I think the issue is one of control of the schools. It's an issue of a total mistrust of school system, of teachers, almost a desire to go back to the days before there was scientific knowledge. There's a great deal of mistrust of the scientific method. There's a great deal of mistrust of any inquiry in a classroom, a great deal of fear of students talking about what they think and feel. We've been told we're not supposed to ask students what they think. We're supposed to tell them what to think. there is a basic disagreement as to what education is all about. There's on the one side a feeling that education is supposed to be indoctrination and we'll write the party line, and then there is on the part of the teachers the feeling that education trains students to think. It gives them the tools to deal with their world.
Do you have in any way the feeling that the people themselves are being led further down the road by their leaders, so, by the ministers in fact?
That seems entirely possible. I know, for example, that many incorrect statements have been made about the books. I know that many incorrect flyers have been issued about the books. I know that material that has not been a part of the selection process has been Xeroxed and distributed. Once on Capitol Street, I saw two different copies of a sexual book that has nothing to do with the material. There is a flyer that's being put out by one of the agencies with a plea for help that contains sexual diagrams. I mean, it's a rather weird thing. People's fears are being played upon. I would not want such material being taught in the schools, but I know that that material is not, in fact, a part of the selection. And I question, really, the methods of people who use material of this sort.
Mrs. Wood's accusations about misinformation were confirmed by John Murrow, who brought back several leaflets from the November 30th rally that contained sexually explicit material that is not in the controversial textbooks. Mistrust has gone hand in hand with misinformation, and the person who the protesters probably trust least is the superintendent of schools, Kenneth J. Underwood. John Murrow asked Dr. Underwood what role he played in the textbook selection.
Actually, none. My role as superintendent is to accept the recommendation of the five teachers who make up the committee and then pass that right on to the board.
So that when the protesters want to ride you out of town on a rail for choosing the textbooks, they're making a major error there. You really didn't play any role at all.
Well, I passed it on to the board, and as you know, being a superintendent, that's where it all stops. So that's when they want to ride me out on a rail, that's expected as superintendent.
Is it over, or is it nearly over?
No. I think this is a long way from being over, a long, long way.
What about the textbooks themselves? What's in them that some people find so objectionable?
I think, may I go deeper than just the question itself? If we were to take literally what some of the protesters are saying, specifically those being led, by the four or five ministers, we would throw out every one of these 325 books, which in my estimation would completely sterilize public education. And then again, I think we have to understand what is public education. Public education is for all. It isn't for a few. It isn't for one specific, segment of the society here in Kanawha County. It's for all children. Then you take a look at Kanawha County. I'm relatively new to West Virginia. I've been here 3.5 years now. I have never seen a state or a community anywhere where I've ever lived where they are more distrusting of public officials. And public officials, I'm talking again about school board administrators, teachers and all. I think there's a reason for this, and if you go back in West Virginia's history, it's easy to see. West Virginia is a state, in my estimation, and I'll have to use a four-letter word, but I think it's descriptive. I think West Virginia is a state and their people have been raped, and they've been raped by people from outside of the state. Their natural resources, which is really, this is their thing. Most of this has gone out of state and not stayed in state. They've had public officials in the last decade, a governor that is still in federal prison. They've been taken by public officials apparently time and time again. So I can't blame them for this.
Have you heard from many superintendents elsewhere in the country?
Oh, all over. Superintendents from elsewhere around the country, and in the beginning called and laughed. They're the same as I would call, and it's an in-house joke. What are you doing down there, Ken? Well, after the first month, they quit laughing. They understood that this was extremely serious. And I think the calls and letters and everything that I'm receiving now and have been for the last 2 months have been, Ken, tell us what happened. Because I think they realize that this could cover more than just Kanawha County. This whole thing could go into their school systems as well as this one here.
Dr. Underwood thinks that the battle about textbooks in West Virginia is far from over. But in fact, attendance is nearly normal today. While 319 secondary school English textbooks are in normal use in the classrooms, the 6 elementary school language arts books are now kept in the school library, and kids cannot use them without parental permission. Those books may not be used in the classrooms. The West Virginia State Superintendent of Education, Dr. Daniel Taylor, believes the decision to remove the 6 elementary textbooks from the classrooms represented a victory for the protesters. John Merrill wanted to know about the national implications of that apparent victory.
Do you think that if word gets out now around the country that, in fact, that what this amounts to a victory for the anti-textbook people, that this would lead to more protests of this kind around the country?
Oh, I don't know. That's awfully difficult for me to hypothesize about it. I could ask you that question, I suppose, easier than you could ask me. What I think will really happen is that textbook publishers will view this circumstance and sporadic concerns around the country and from an economic motivation simply begin to tone down some of the kinds of things that were being included in textbooks under the name of relevance, for example. And that rather than anti-textbook people exercising censorship by bringing pressure to bear on boards of education in boardrooms of publishing concerns, they will look around and decide that they had better publish a slightly different kind of material than they thought was going to sell in late 1960s and early 1970s. And any censorship that will be imposed by textbook publishers themselves not wanting to lose Texas, for example, or Georgia, or heaven forbid California, because if they lose Texas and California, for example, in their textbook adoptions, they are economically in considerable difficulty. So I think that's the kind of circumstance that will result, rather than any concerted effort in local boards of education removing certain kinds of materials.
Do you think the issue is dying here in Kanawha County?
Well, I would have pronounced it, just about been ready to pronounce it until the latest rally, and I don't know how much enthusiasm that's going to continue to engender. And I think that if we're left alone, and I don't mean that to you personally, but I think if we're left alone here over the next 6 or 8 months, that this particular problem will have pretty much been taken care of.
Well, you're not going to be left alone. The National Education Association, the NEA, and National Council of Churches are coming in to hold hearings.
I have talked with the NEA people. I've not talked with the National Council of Churches, and I think the timing is terrible. I don't think the timing could be any worse on the part of the NEA, and I've expressed that directly to them. I think it's tremendous that at some point all of the factors be looked at and reexamined and decisions made, whether it relates to establishing legislative initiatives or whether it has to do with academic freedom or the rights of teachers. But I think to begin to do that this week or next is irresponsible on the part of NEA, and I've so expressed that to them.
As State Superintendent Daniel Taylor mentioned, the recent rally may have revived the protest. It did attract people from approximately 15 states.
Where have you come from for the rally?
Columbus, Ohio.
Is that right? How many people came down from Ohio?
I don't have any idea. There are other people who are interested, but they didn't come with us. There are three with us, but for many years, I have been following this sort of thing, and I realize the kind of thing that are in them, and the parents have been unable to do away with them, and this is one of the few places where the parents have banded together to do something about this, and I think it's extremely important. See, it's a matter of parents' rights.
And the same problem has existed in Ohio also?
It exists nationwide. I was alerted to it because it was in other states beyond Ohio. Then I look in my own state and I find the same thing going on there.
In Buffalo, where I live, even when I was in school 10 years ago, I noticed a lot of these same things. But I know that some good friends of mine, they brought some of their books home from school. Well, Catcher in the Rye and others just like that. And personally, I sure don't feel that they belong in a public school. Personally, I'll get a big thrill out of this rally to see if there's as many good people still left around here. And also, just to get more publicity.
Why are you here today?
To help the West Virginia parents protest this. If it doesn't stop here, then we've got to fight it somewhere else.
I think that we have to go all the way to the top. I think this is where we come in with our congressmen and our senators. And we don't want them to change our children. And we've questioned, what are they changing our children into?
Parental concern about textbooks is not limited to West Virginia. Neither is the meeting of groups to express that concern. Mrs. Margaret Kuhn is an official of the Guardians of Traditional Education in Prince George's County, Maryland. John Merrill asked her about that organization.
The Guardians is a group, a parent group formed in Prince George's County 2.5 years ago as a result of the forced busing in Prince George's County. And we learned after our children bust all these programs in the schools. And we started digging and digging, and we found most of them coming out of HEW, NEA, Office of Education, and this type of thing. So this is where we spent most of our time researching. And we've known about the dirty textbooks for almost 3 years now, but we feel that this is more, it's a philosophy rather than just a textbook issue. The issue is, it's humanism. It's a philosophy. And this filters down through the textbooks. Textbooks are just a symptom of the real issue.
I'm sorry, the issue is humanism. Are you pro-humanism or against humanism?
We are opposed to humanism.
Explain what that is.
Well, humanism is, I think, where basically man believes in man, that he is the supreme being. They do not believe in absolutes. And we as Christian parents, at least in my group, and I think the movement throughout the United States, we do believe in absolutes. We do believe that the schools should not be just teaching these things, but it should be inculcated within the curriculum to where these kids automatically know that wrong is wrong and right is right. But throughout this humanistic philosophy, it's a situational ethics type thing. You do whatever you want to whenever you feel like it.
How many parents or how many people belong to Guardians of Traditional Education?
Well, we have no exact number, but I would not be afraid to say that we are in the thousands. I'll say it like that. It just in the state of, in Prince George's County, but now we are also an affiliate group of Coalition of Children, which is a national movement, and we have representatives in 50 states. There are thousands of parents in every state that feel the same way Reverend Hill feels, but we've known for some time this isn't just something sudden. The people like myself and others that have worked in this thing, some for 20 years.
Would private schools be an answer?
I think that this is really the only choice that parents that feel so strongly about this. I think what we're actually saying and we're screaming is we want our academic freedom too.
Trouble is brewing in neighboring Montgomery County, Maryland. Dr. Ona Lee McGraw is one of 200 members of Citizens United for Responsible Education in Montgomery County. And like Mrs. Kuhn, Dr. McGraw believes that the textbooks are not the real issue.
It's a question of values that are in the textbooks. It's a question of the values and the philosophy that's in teacher training methods and in the philosophy of the National Education Association and some of your establishment educationist groups who don't necessarily reflect the attitudes and opinions of teachers generally.
So I hear you saying it's two questions then. It's one of values, and it's also an ultimate question of who controls the public schools.
That's right.
Let's talk about the values then. You apparently object to the values that you feel are being taught in the public schools today, at least in Montgomery County.
Yes, and we have found that this is a nationwide problem. Actually, it relates to the general direction of American public education itself. Even since the 1930s, it's been falling into this concept of life adjustment with a de-emphasis on basic academic skills. It has shifted away from the development of the intellect as the primary purpose of education into life adjustment, personality development, this kind of activity. And this is what we object to. We are saying that we basically feel most parents send their children to school to get a basic academic education. And most parents feel that they can do the job at home of developing their children's character and personality.
Are you saying that there's too much emphasis on how the student feels, what the student thinks, rather than on reading, writing, thinking?
This is exactly the problem. They are going completely into the area of how the child reacts to the material.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I think it's, number one, it's a violation of privacy, and number two...
I mean, no one else is supposed to know how a child
feels?
Well,
the problem is that the material is becoming intensely personal. Instead of talking about something that's objective or outside of the child that we can discuss in a classroom discussion, the material is intensely personal. The difference is that in basic education, the children would read the stories and then discuss them, but they would not be forced to discuss how they personally feel in terms of life and love and all of these
and you think
gut
it's,
issues.
You think it's some way dangerous to discuss gut issues like that in a classroom?
I think that it tends to make these kinds of issues a matter of opinion, merely a matter of sociological background.
That's the notion of situation ethics.
This is situation ethics. We are saying if there are parents who don't share our values and they want their children to have situation ethics, rap sessions about how they feel, that's fine. Let them have it.
How can they have it? Now, if we have truths conflicting, if your truth conflicts with my truth and that conflicts with Nancy's truth, what do we do?
For me, and I think for growing numbers of parents, the only solution is alternative schools.
Within the public school system?
I think we have to work for choice for parents. We have to work for parental rights and parental freedom of choice. And a broad range of alternatives.
Let me ask you one other question. Do you here in Montgomery County feel a kinship with the protesters down in Kanawha County, West Virginia?
Yes, very much, because we feel that they are raising the issue there that goes beyond simply objecting to certain passages in books or certain kinds of stories. The issue is much more profound than that. And it relates to what are the ultimate rights of parents. Do parents indeed have any rights at all?
Almost every parent I talked to down there said, if the textbooks are withdrawn, I'll send my kids back to school. And that's not what you're saying.
Well, I was down there, I guess it was about 3 weeks ago, and I talked to quite a few of the people. They know what secular humanism is. They talked about this. They talked about situation ethics. And I know that many of them are very concerned about the profounder aspect. But I think the NEA's response to the people of West Virginia is an indication of how serious they know it is.
Dr. McGraw is not the first person so far to attack the National Education Association, which is the largest teacher organization with 1.6 million members. Recently, James Harris, president of the NEA, said that the West Virginia protest was a well-financed, well-organized resurgence of extremist activity. And the NEA has sent a team of investigators to Kanawha County. He restates his concern for us.
Yes, there are reasons to believe that it is just that it is a well-financed effort that many individuals who are present there, there's evidence to believe that they are part of other kinds of similar actions in other places, and that it is not just a spontaneous kind of hit-and-miss operation.
Now, who are some of the individuals who would be our organizations?
I actually don't have the names, but I have been briefed, and we have staff people that have been there and have indicated to me that this is true, but I don't actually have the names on hand.
Now, when I mentioned that with the people themselves, they scoff at that and say the NEA is trying to tar this movement with that brush of the John Birch Society, for example.
Well, I'm certain that there would be efforts to try to rid themselves of any kind of organized effort behind it. But nevertheless, we have fairly substantial information to suggest that the allegations that we have made are in fact true. As far as it being a nationally established organization that is programmed from some national office, it's not that kind of thing that we're saying.
But I want to make sure I don't misunderstand your position. You're saying that there may be some parents who feel that way, but by and large, what the flurry is a result of people who make a habit of this kind of criticism of the schools, and in that sense represents a well-financed right-wing conspiracy.
That's the point.
What if 40%, say, just to pick a round figure, of the parents felt that they wanted schools that in fact indoctrinated their children and did not tell them about other ways of living?
Well, I think that would be unfortunate, because it's not the role of the public school system to indoctrinate students into a way of living. The public school system has the obligation of teaching, broadening students, producing mature students that are capable of dealing with the various kinds of situations that they're going to confront in life.
The notion of the indoctrination of schools that in fact teach, almost preach, a specific and traditional value system and do not teach about other forms of living. You're saying that is not the role of public schools.
That is not the role of public schools.
So if parents want that kind of education for their kids, then I infer that what they have to do is pay a second time to a private school of some sort.
Well, I think that there are a number of areas where parents want their students indoctrinated or preached to. And some of them get this in a church school setting that supplements their public school experience. Some get it in a parochial school setting that replaces the public school setting. Some provide some kind of summer camp experience or retreat experience where they get this special edition that they want their kids to have. So there are ways for parents to get that part indoctrinated into their kids that they want them to have.
Is the protest in West Virginia a well-financed resurgence of right-wing activity, as NEA President James Harris charges? Perhaps the NEA's own investigation will resolve the question. However, the more dramatic aspect of conspiracy should not be allowed to cloud the more important debate about the aims of education. Many protesters maintain that public education today is undermining traditional values. The defenders, like NEA's Harris and John Maxwell of the 50,000-member National Council of Teachers of English, believe that the issues are the separation of church and state, tolerance for diverse value systems, and censorship. John Maxwell talked by telephone with John Murrow.
We're opposed to the vocal minorities, persons with a rather extremely minor point of view on, let us say, morality or taste, aesthetics, from dominating the selection process. That often, too often, happens in what we call instances of censorship. It is not a case of a broad segment of the community at all, but a very small part of the community with a special axe to grind, a case to make, a concern to put forth.
You also, it sounds to me as if, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds to me as if you're taking a position that it's important for students to be exposed to or to consider different value systems along the way to getting an education.
Yes, all of us have value systems. We inherit them from the most, for the most part, and they're the ones that we inherit are the deepest and most abiding ones. And that's why I, when I talk with parents, I say, you needn't be afraid, because what you've said to those child through the years, what you've exemplified to them, those are the values they're going to live by for the most part. Now, they'll run into some different value systems someplace in their experience, either now or later, and they're going to have to wrestle with alternative value systems, with things that they don't understand, and the chances are very, very high they are going to reject those systems. But they have to examine them, because when they're on their own, they will not be prepared to meet with chicanery and fraud and so forth that may be actually part of those alternative value systems. Literature forms an arena, a possibility, a means by which the youngster can examine those systems without getting burned. And that's the primary value of literature, is to think about himself, make his own decisions eventually, and examine the things these authors have set forth.
The differences between the protesters and the defenders, whether in West Virginia, Maryland, or anywhere else in the United States, are fundamental and perhaps irreconcilable. Protesters believe that public schools ought to teach one single true value system. The pro-textbook forces believe that public schools must teach about many different value systems in order to prepare children for life in a complex, pluralistic society. A way out of the impasse might be publicly financed alternative schools. Some communities are experimenting along those lines. We began by asking whether textbook protests will continue. We think they will. But another large, violent outbreak like that in Kanawha County seems unlikely. A unique set of circumstances there, most notably the walkout by coal miners, propelled Kanawha County into the headlines. However, nationally, discontent about the public schools is as strong as it has ever been. Discipline problems, disrespect for authority, poor academic performance, rising costs, vandalism, busing, these are the common complaints heard from different segments of the public. Because textbooks are an easy and highly visible issue to build around, school books are likely to be cited as a major issue in subsequent protests. Onlookers would do well to probe for larger issues behind the books. There will be much more at stake. Protests about textbooks will never be as black and white as printed words on a page.
There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
If you would like a transcript of this program, send 50 cents to Options on Education, Room 310, 1001 Connecticut Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C. The zip is 20036. That address again, Options on Education, Room 310, 1001 Connecticut Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C. The zip, 20036.
1,000 people in the street singing songs and a carry inside. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Some of the material for this program was collected by Jennifer Roth of public station WVWC in Buchanan, West Virginia. The program was produced by Midge Hart and John Murrow. Technical assistance, Mike Batiste. For Options on Education, I'm Mike Waters. Funds for this program were provided by the Institute for Educational Leadership of the George Washington University and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is NPR, National Public Radio.